This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's the Thursday, March 26th edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning brought to you by Y West Storage, a secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. Call Y West. All these are 406 numbers, of course. 510-0590 for Y West to reserve your unit today. Quality seamless gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. Call 728-4002. They'll give you a free quote. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment. Heavy duty truck sales, parts and service. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Busy Bees Cleaning Service brings you commercial cleaning you can trust. Call Busy Bees at 550-3219 and get a free estimate. Pivots Plus, Montana's leader in irrigation parts, service and sales. Call Pivots Plus, 683-4418. Gomer's Diesel, diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Call Gomer's Diesel, 728-7620 today. Harrington Surgical Supply, where they provide medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. Call Harrington, 721-8468.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Good morning again, everyone. Good to have you along. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we are always privileged to have with us our resident CPA, Walt Caro, from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Montana.
Yes, indeed. So the floor is yours, sir. What do you got?
Yeah, it's tax time.
Yes, it is. Imagine that. Well, what are we about, 2 weeks away?
Three weeks away.
Okay.
But my tax time on this radio show is up front. And what I mean by up front, we'll take the first 20, 30 minutes and go over some interesting aspects of tax. And today is no different. But and I want to cover, and this is courtesy of the Tax Foundation's, for lack of a better term, a think tank on taxes back in Washington, D.C., but they're nonpartisan.
All right.
And that, you know, brings in a fair amount of unbiased to it. And it's an educational organization. So, and I donate a little bit of money to them because their research materials I use all the time and I find them quite good. Today is no exception. So what we're going to talk about, principles of sound tax policy.
I like it.
Yeah, and you know, we had government officials in here yesterday, and then we had the fellow from the Housing Authority.
Right.
So
yeah, the county commissioners and the Housing Authority, yeah.
Yep. We'll get into certain aspects of that, but here, the research the Tax Foundation does is guided by principles. And those principles of sound tax policy, there's four. And the one is simplicity, two is transparency, three is neutrality, and four is stability. And most people I talk to, they like a tax system that is predictable.
Right.
And one that's...
No surprises, please.
Yeah, and one that, you know, you can see, and that's where the transparency comes in. And even though I'm not a big fan of sales taxes, a sales tax is better than, say, a gross receipts tax because you see it. And even though I'm not crazy about property taxes, you see them. And the reason why it's better than the other types of taxes that we have is because the payer, us, see it right away. When you write a check for your property taxes, that's the time we ought to vote. Because when you get people up there, and of course, last time I was here, I was talking about Milton Friedman's right. Four ways of spending money. You know, if you got a bunch of critters up there that are spending money like no tomorrow,
right.
Well, that's coming from me and you. So, anyway, we will discuss these four principles in detail after we get back from a break.
Yes, we're going to come right back. And when Walt Caro is our guest, he's our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So, hope you've got your radios turned up real loud because we'll have more great advice from Walt when we come back right after this.
Spring weather is...
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Looking pretty good going back into Thursday. Back to sunshine with a high in the mid-40s, so a little colder. Thursday night mostly clear, and with those clear skies, lows could drop down into the low 20s. On Friday, plenty of sunshine, warming up to a high near 60 degrees. Winds will continue to be light and calm, so quiet, pleasant weather. For the weekend, looks good too, turning milder on Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Sunday, more sunshine and staying in the 60s.
We are back on Talk Back. Our special guest in studio, of course, Walt Caro, Elevated Tax and Accounting, our tax guru or tax professor, as it is right now, because we're in the teaching phase.
Oh, yeah. We're okay. Back to the sound principle, simplicity. Okay. Well, we all like things simple because it promotes understanding or makes understanding easier to achieve. And when it comes to your money, you want simple. And it also makes easier to comply. And, you know, everybody's always complaining about tax cheats or people that, game the system and whatnot. Well, the more complex you create a tax system, the more opportunity there is for it. So, a simpler tax code is going to promote compliance, and we all want compliance, and especially our elected officials, because they're representing the system. But if the system's complex, hello, ain't going to be there.
And when other people cheat, it costs all of us, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. The tax code complexity can create real costs. And just think, you know, you're concerned about making sure you get all your deductions, and I scream and yell and holler that, you know, report all your income, but by God, make sure you get all your deductions. Well, that costs a lot of time, and the One Big Beautiful Bill put it into play and made it permanent for, they doubled the standard deduction. And by doing that, it caused about 30% of the people who used to itemize, they're using the standard deduction nowadays. So from that aspect,
so it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
You bet.
And that's just one example of the policies. And then you have complex tax policy and simple tax policy. Another dichotomy here. Our current U.S. savings system is very, very complex. Now, you and I think of savings as just our savings.
Right.
But this is, when we're talking savings, we're also talking about retirements. And so, as of 2020, there are 15 different types of retirement accounts.
Wow.
And keeping track of that is like herding cats. And in fact, there's a lot of people out there who make their living just specializing in those retirement savings accounts, whether it's 401k or pension plans or IRAs, tax-deferred annuities, all kinds of savings vehicles. And it can drive you crazy just trying to keep track of that. I only limit myself to understanding what can be contributed and what can be therefore deducted. And when it comes tax time, usually that's all taken care of by a 1099-R. So anyway, those are two things, you know, in terms of complex tax policy and simple tax policies. The next one is transparency. And I was kind of alluding to that when I was talking about simplicity and stability.
Now, when you talk about transparency, you're talking about the transparency of tax policy.
The tax policy,
right.
And I mentioned that gross receipts taxes can cause tax pyramiding, because every time there's a gross receipt between, let's just figure there's two or three steps between a beginning product and an end product. Each time there's a step, you add on tax, and so you end up with tax pyramiding. It would be much simpler and more transparent that you could see it if you just relied on a retail sales tax. Again, I'm no promoter of a sales tax. Because I lived in Washington for a year, and,
right.
You know, you go buy something, you feel like, geez, the governor's got his hand in your pocket again.
Well, they quite literally do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so don't, you know, and then you also have a mental budget when you go in to buy something. And so you get, you see the price there, but then you got to add the tax in. And so I kind of got wore out trying to figure out what my total bill would be.
Now, isn't that a reason, one reason why people come from Washington State and Oregon, whatever, to Montana to buy luxury vehicles?
Well, not so much on luxury vehicles. That's kind of hard because unless you license it in Montana, and then you run the risk, California is catching up with some of the people buying cars and registering them in Montana. But if they're used in Montana and used enough, well, then those states can't do too much but squeal. And another issue with tax policies, about half of payroll taxes are paid by the employer. And even though that's nice for the employee has to think that if the employer didn't have to pay that, they could pay me more.
Okay.
Right? Because the employer can only afford so much. And because of that, then, you know, it would be better if the employee paid the payroll tax and they got paid more to offset that. But the reason why that's better is because they're the ones closer to it and they see it. But if your employer's paying the tax, well, no big deal. What me worry?
No. Isn't it a requirement? Nick and I, we work here at Town Square Media, mm-hmm. and they're required to take out taxes from our pay.
Right.
And so now, explain how that is a better way than us, than the government trusting us to go ahead and pay all of our taxes on our own.
Yeah. Well, the perfect example of Social Security is your employer matches what you pay in.
Right.
Now, in a way, that's kind of a good thing because it's a blend of both the employer and employee side. But there are some taxes like work comp and unemployment that the employer pays, but the employee doesn't know exist. Right. Or if they know it exists, they have no clue as how much it costs.
Sure.
But sometimes work comp can be so expensive that, in Montana, the old rate for sawyers, people cutting trees down, was 1-to-1. So if you got paid a dollar, work comp was a dollar. So the premiums were pretty high, but the employee doesn't see that. But they feel the effects of it, but they don't see it. Because if the employer was not paying that, they would be able to pay them more. But, yeah, work comp is a necessary ingredient.
Right.
The thing is how do we afford it? How do we make it work? Okay. The third principle of a sound tax policy is neutrality. And what's neutrality? Well, neutrality is where the tax itself doesn't promote one activity or another. Recently, they've been pushing what they call digital service taxes.
Wow.
Well, that's focused in on just digital services. It would be just easier to include the digital services into a sales tax rather than just picking on them. For example, locally, I think they still charge the cable TV company a franchise tax. And then, of course, they pass that on. So, you know, we're kind of stuck. The thing with neutrality is it should neither encourage or discourage personal or business decisions. But good luck. A lot of people use the tax code to socially engineer stuff. And that's where the complexity and the highway to hell occurs. Let's just put it that way. So, time for a break?
Yes, sir. We're going to take a break. And class will resume when we come back right after this quick timeout. Stay with us.
Hey,
class resumes with Walt Carroll from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Go ahead, Walt, please.
Oh, okay. One more example of neutrality in tax policy. A non-neutral policy is where you come up with preferential tax credits and exemptions. Now, where does this come into play? Well, depending upon the jurisdiction, federal or state, preferential tax credits and exemptions are like those offered for purchasing electric vehicles. Oh, where have we seen that? Building sports arenas. Where have we seen that? Or, even better, filming movies in certain locations. Where have we seen that? I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong. It's just that it's a non-neutral policy. When you're picking winners and losers, a neutral policy is an example is when the One Big Beautiful Bill created full expensing of capital equipment purchases. And because everybody could take advantage of that, then it became quote-unquote neutral. So if you were blue or red, didn't matter. You got to fully expense your equipment purchases. So that's an example, a good, well-defined example of neutrality. And speaking of that full expensing, later on, if we get a chance, this full expensing of equipment or asset purchases is a potential answer to some of the issues that were brought up yesterday by the Housing Authority director in fulfilling a shortage of housing. Okay, the last principle of tax that is for good sound policy is called stability. And that's where it comes in as predictability. And okay, what's an example of an unstable tax? Well, cigarette excise taxes. And they always move, but because cigarette smoking is getting less and less popular, right, although vaping's kind of taken over for it, but it's still on a downward exercise. So in order to create that revenue, they keep raising the prices. And remember, I think Ohio raised their cigarette taxes a whole bunch, and then Canada did. And I can't remember which way, but the boats were going to Cleveland and away from Cleveland, and they were buying cigarettes in the U.S., taking them to Canada because Canada, you know, you create black markets when you go crazy with taxes. And
well, people will find a way.
Yeah. And when it comes to cigarettes and all those other sin taxes, just including them in sales taxes or a broad-based consumption tax would be a preferential way to go. It's funny because inside the Tax Act of 2017, Trump version 1.0's tax bill, there were things that were made permanent there. And a permanent policy change was the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. That's locked in. But what wasn't locked in was fully expensing the equipment and assets that you purchased. And so it started out for the first 2 years at 100%, and then it was phasing out at 80, 60, 40, and whatnot. Well, by the time Trump 2.0 gets in, now, because of the One Big Beautiful Act, that's made permanent. So those are examples of stable and unstable taxes. So there we have it, folks, the four sound principles of good tax policy.
All right, good deal.
Brought to us from the Tax Foundation. And, from time to time, I'll bring up more and more subjects like that. But anyway, class is over. Class dismissed.
So shall we open up the phone lines?
Sure.
All right, we will do that. And then when we come back from the break, 721-1290 is our number. You have an opportunity to ask your questions of Walt Carroll from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So give us a call, 721-1290. We're going to come right back after this timeout.
Taco Sano.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Looking pretty good going back into Thursday. Back to sunshine with a high in the mid-40s, so a little colder. Thursday night, mostly clear, and with those clear skies, lows could drop down into the low 20s. On Friday, plenty of sunshine, warming up to a high near 60 degrees. Winds will continue to be light and calm, so quiet, pleasant weather. For the weekend, looks good, too, turning milder on Saturday. Partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Sunday, more sunshine and staying in the 60s.
All right, class is over, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's an opportunity for you to talk with Walt Carroll from Elevated Tax and Accounting. You've got a tax question, and so folks are already calling in. And Skip is first. Skip, good morning. You're on with Walt Carroll. Go ahead.
Hi, Skip.
Hi. Hello, Walt. Thanks for coming on, and thank you, Peter. I saw on the news and a whole lot of literature about it that people are talking about some new proposal by, I think his name is he's in our Montana state legislature, Mr. Galt. I think he's from the Martinsdale area along the amazing Muscle Shell.
Oh, yeah, Galt.
Wiley Gold.
Yes. Wiley Gold, yeah. Yes.
So I figured maybe you already did a little bit of review on that. Would you tell us, and it's going to be probably a something on our ballot that will be a ballot issue, and it has to do with 2%, I think, cap on... I think it was property tax. Would you please explain the both sides of the coin of that as to what that might be nice for, but then what it might hurt by doing such a thing in our state tax situation?
Oh, okay. Skip.
I hope you both look at it. Thank you.
Thanks, Skip.
Okay. Well, Skip, are you familiar with governors on an engine that won't let you go too fast?
Right.
Well, they put a defibrillator into me a couple of years ago so my heart wouldn't go too fast. Those kind of are governors, and so that puts a limit. And I think the sum and substance of Mr. Galt's proposal is to put a governor in place. So I was talking about that your property taxes – I don't know if they can't increase by 2% a year or if it's
it can't be more than 2% per year.
Yeah, and so that would be a good thing, but I'm sure there are inventive folks that would try to figure out ways around that. You know, there's some people out there who would try to figure out some way to limit that. But I think it's probably a decent proposal. It's headed in the right direction, but. As I've always been on my soapbox, I'm saying, you know, we don't need a new tax. We don't need a bunch of new laws. What we need to do is have some elected officials who are fiscally prudent and not willing to spend every nickel that they can dream of and spend. So, I think that's the better way to go. Created a third rail of taxation in Montana, and it's called cut spending. we'll see how well I do with that.
Can I look that up in the dictionary? I'm not sure it's even in there in the dictionary.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's what I know about that. I haven't examined the proposal in detail, Skip, but that's my understanding.
Okay. KC is waiting on the line right now. KC, you're on with Walt.
Hi, Casey.
Hello. Hey, I have some questions on sale of real estate.
Sure.
My wife, about 10, 12 years ago, bought a duplex that we're going to get ready to sell. She had sold a house she had in Pleasant View and used those funds to buy this duplex.
Uh-huh.
We're both retired. Both retired now. That's the first question he had. Is there still a one-time exemption for tax liability?
Well, that's if it's your personal residence. If this is a rental, that rule does not apply. But you do have some options if you sell the duplex. And do you have how much you originally paid for the duplex?
$250.
Okay, and what's it worth?
We're looking to sell it. Her daughter's been renting for years and wants to buy it from us. It's probably worth $500. We're thinking of selling it to her for gifting her $50,000. And that was one of the other questions. Is that an option? Can we gift the down payment?
What with the down payment? You're talking about skipping it or what?
Gifted.
Yeah, you can do that. The only problem is if there's a tax issue involved, and there would be, you still have to pay the tax, even though you're not going to get a dime out of your gift. The gift is to the daughter. There's some alternatives that are available, but okay. More questions, Skip? All right, Casey?
No, I think that was it. What amount we could get, if we could gift it, and what amount we could. Sounds like we can, but we'd still be liable for the tax. So she'll have to pay capital gains tax on anything above the $250.
Yeah. And there's a couple of ways to go. You could sell it to the daughter on a contract, and that's kind of similar to what you're saying. But there's other alternatives too, is let your daughter get a mortgage and she pays you off, and then you help her with not make the mortgage payments for her, but just agree to be a backup in case she can't make the payments. There's a multitude of ways to go about doing that. The initial part, gifting a portion of the contract, the payment, is still, you know, just using the numbers you gave me, and they're rough. Say you sell it for $500, and you originally paid $250 for it. Says you have a $250,000 capital gain. So that's a 50% gross profit. So for every dollar you get on the sale price, 50% of that will be capital gain. So we're at $250,000. If you got all the money up front, you would probably be in about a 20% federal and state tax bracket. So 20% of $250,000, your tax bill, if you got cashed out, would be $50,000. So there's nothing to sneeze at. So you have the installment sale, and you spread that tax and the capital gain out over the life of the contract or promissory note, whatever you use. Another alternative is to do a 1031 exchange, but you have to purchase some other property someplace else, and you technically defer the gain. The $250,000 gain that you would have had, that gets deferred into the new property. So that's an alternative for you, too. But that probably won't work, because what the intent is you want to be able to get it to the daughter, right?
Right.
Okay. But there are other ways to do it. But tax-wise, looking at everything, it would be best to transfer to her when you and your wife pass. But in the meantime, what do you do? Well, you can just keep doing the rental.
Yeah. The final question she had is, we've been depreciating it over the last, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Does that affect our taxes at all?
Well, it's been a benefit to you so far, but it could be that if you sell it to her, you recapture that depreciation as income. So anyway, so you originally paid $250 for it, and over 10, 15 years, you could have depreciated $100,000. So for tax purposes, mm-hmm. instead of being $250 what you paid for it, your net basis, as we call it, basis, is only $150. So then your gain gets bigger. And you have a bunch of alternatives that are available to you. And it would be best for you to sit down with a tax preparer, tax advisor, and go through the options. Because as I'm doing now, explaining some of the options to you, you're going to have more and more questions. So then it becomes right. like oh, chewing cool. on a piece of jerky, where it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, you've answered some vital questions for us. Appreciate your time.
Oh, hey, yeah, and good luck to you, Casey.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. With that, we're up against a break. We have Mike, Larry, and Jeff all standing by to visit with Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. 721-1290 is our number. We're coming right back.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Skyline Sports reported that the Montana Lady Grizz are expected to return 6 players from this year's team. Avery Waddington, Jocelyn Land, Abby Schubert, Kennedy Gillette, Ray Ehrman, and Ava Cosette will return for the Lady Grizz. No official word on the rest of the roster. There will be 4 freshmen coming in. Speaking of former Lady Grizz Macy Heward has announced that she will be entering the transfer portal for the second time in her short career. Heward spent the last 2 seasons at Oklahoma State. This last season was cut short thanks to a knee injury. She played 23 games, starting 1 in her lone year of playing at Oklahoma State. Changes to the NFL schedule already. The Seattle Seahawks will open the season week one on a Wednesday. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauer.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Hey, we are back on Talkback. Walt Kiro, our special guest, Elevated Tax and Accounting, and the phone lines are filling up for you, Walt. So
good.
I do believe we have Mike up first. Mike, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You bet.
Okay, Walt, I got a question for you, a little similar to what Casey was asking. We have a six-acre property that our house is on.
Yeah.
But I own the adjacent 10 acres, which is just right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to legally attach that to the original 6 acres and maybe avoid the taxes if I sell it?
Well, it's subject to a whole bunch of questions, but if the facts and circumstances are such so that, I'll give you an example. The IRS has approved the sale of a house plus 20 acres as long as the facts and circumstances justify it. In the case that I'm talking about, the house was on 1 acre and the other 19 acres were semi-vertical. And, you know, it just depends on that. You know, I would think, you know, because of the 20-acre rule, you could probably get by with the house and the 6 acres unless you've already made plans to subdivide the 6 acres. Depends if that's been done. If it hasn't, you've got some justification, although not total justification, for including the 6 acres in your house sale because the house sale, as long as you qualify for the residential exclusion, you can exclude up to, assuming it's jointly owned with a spousal unit, you can defer, or I mean, you get to exclude $500,000 of gain. The 10 acres sounds like another piece that was separately surveyed and split off.
It's adjacent to my property, but I pay taxes on it separately. And yeah. I was just wondering, if I could contain that, make my property 16 acres, and then kind of sell off 10 if I wanted to.
Well, without knowing anything else, Mike, the 10 acres is what we call investment property. Now, if you could get the government to agree and vacate that 10-acre parcel and include it into one, you know, I think that would have some merit. Although, depending on facts and circumstances, you know, we would have to go through all of the factors involved. But let's say the 10 acres, like I said, was vertical and you couldn't put a house on it anyway. So the answer to that is, well, yeah, in that case, yes. But if it's dividable and buildable, then you've got some problems.
We currently draw a little bit of income from cattle grazing on it.
Yeah.
We lease it out for cattle.
Yeah.
So would that change anything?
No, that won't hurt you. Because it depends upon what the best use of that property is. And if it's cattle grazing and you couldn't put a house on it anyway because of floodplain or because it's on a hillside and too steep to build on, then there's justification for including it with your house.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's kind of as clear as mud, Walt. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Mike, there's a whole bunch of other questions I could ask, but we don't have time. And
give other people a chance. Thanks for your information.
Okay.
Walt.
You bet. Good luck, Mike.
Thanks for the call. Larry is up next. Larry, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Good morning.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. Well, I wanted to talk about qualified charitable deductions. Is there a limitation on that? Do you have to have itemized deductions to use that, or can you use that with a just a standard deduction?
Oh, okay. A regular charitable donation deduction gets included in your itemized deduction. for this year, 2026 and going forward, they're going to allow you a $1,000 or $2,000 deduction off the top. But what you can do to circumvent the itemized deduction issue that you're raising, Larry, you can make the donation from a qualified retirement account. So, for example, if you have an IRA and you wanted to give $5,000 to U of M for whatever reason, the donation money goes straight from your IRA to the university. So it doesn't come to you first. It just sidesteps and goes directly to the university. That you get the benefit of a deduction because you don't have to take that amount and pay tax on it. And so for people out there with qualified, you know, with required minimum distributions, if you're old like me, then that's a good way to circumvent the limitations that are inherent with the standard versus itemized.
Yeah, my wife and I made the QCDs out of our IRA account. And I didn't see those on, even though we had them on our worksheet, I didn't see those noted anywhere on our tax returns. And I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
Would they show up there, yeah, the deduction from your gross?
Yeah. If they're claimed as QCD deductions, right on the front page of your return on 1040, page one, where it shows your distributions from IRAs and pension profit sharing plans, the software is supposed to put in QCD. So if you made them and they weren't claimed, well, then you have something to amend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll check that out, but I appreciate it. I thought maybe there was that limitation on itemized deductions, but I think the QCD would be used even though we take the standard deduction.
Yep, so you get the best of both worlds with doing it that way.
Okay, well, I'll take the best of both worlds.
You betcha.
And so say
you guys.
Take care, Larry.
So say all of us. Hey, we're like a minute away from a break, so we'll give Jeff and Sandy more time when we come back from the break. 721-1290 is our number. Our guest here in the studio, Walt Kiro with Elevated Tax and Accounting. Back after this.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Looking pretty good going back into Thursday. Back to sunshine with a high in the mid-40s, so a little colder. Thursday night, mostly clear, and with those clear skies, lows could drop down into the low 20s. On Friday, plenty of sunshine, warming up to a high near 60 degrees. Winds will continue to be light and calm, so quiet, pleasant weather. For the weekend, looks good too, turning milder on Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Sunday, more sunshine and staying in the 60s.
Our guest here in the studio, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and folks have been waiting on the phone. Jeff has been waiting the longest. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Walt. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Montana. Before I get to my questions, when you were talking to Casey, I didn't hear you talk about gifting. He asked about, can he gift $50,000 to his daughter? And I didn't hear you talk about the gift option from income tax that you can gift up to $19,000.
Mm-hmm.
Both he and his wife could gift up to $19,000 to their daughter and claim that as a gift.
Yeah, but the gift tax is part of the transfer tax system and not part of the income tax system. So, for example, if they sold the house to the daughter, and for on a contract, and they forgave, i.e., gifted the down payment, whatever taxable gain is in the down payment, they'd still have to pay the tax.
Right? Couldn't they get around that by gifting her $19,000 each, and if she has a husband, gifting him $19,000 each, and then they could take that money and use it to pay the down payment on the house?
The short answer is no. The reason is because the income tax system is different than the estate and gift tax system. And the gift tax system is based upon transferring assets, not based upon income tax or whatnot. It's a, there's two tax systems out there. And so your question, and it's relevant to the transfer tax system, but it's not relevant to the income tax system. So anyway, I wish I could say yes, but the answer is no.
Well, I thought you could claim that if you do the transfer tax or do that transfer, that you could then claim that on income tax.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That exclusion, the $19,000 per year, applies to gift taxes, not income taxes. So, you know, if you go and look at the tax form, it would become clear. The gift tax form is Form 709. And if you make a taxable gift, in other words, one that's more than $19,000, you fill out the form. And if you do, as you were proposing, what we call gift splitting between a husband and a wife, and they both give $19,000 to the daughter, you know, that's all cool. That's excludable for the gift tax. But when it comes to income tax, there is no, that $19,000 exclusion doesn't apply.
So that $19,000 is against the estate then?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then if they pass, then you could exclude that $38,000 out of the estate.
Yep, exactly. In fact, that's a good estate planning for people who are gazillionaires, is you transfer $19,000 a year to donees, and then but you got to be above around, if you're married, you got to be above like around $24-25 million in assets before you start kicking into an estate tax. But as we know, we get the wrong knuckleheads elected in Washington, D.C., and that $24 million will drop to $1 million, and then that changes the whole discussion.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not quite to gazillionaire status. I wish I was.
But, well, keep working at it, Jeff.
Yeah, well, when you were talking to, I can't remember who it was now, because I had KC on the brain.
Oh.
Larry, maybe? You were talking about
charitable donations?
Doing QCDs, qualified charitable donations. Mm-hmm. Is there any limit to the amount? Does it have to be above a certain threshold, or if it's just $200 to a qualified charity, can you do that?
There is a limit, Jeff, but it's an upper limit. You can do QCDs up to $110,000 a year. And believe it or not, I have a client that seems to do that every year. And it works out good for him because he doesn't have to pay income tax on it. And the charity wins because they get, you know, they get a healthy amount every year. So, yeah.
Is there any limit to the number of QCDs you can do like that as well? I mean, we have like 13 different charities we give to.
Yeah, you can do 13 charities. It's just there's a dollar limit on the upper threshold. So,
yeah, I wouldn't come close to 110.
No, but I use it for funding certain donations out of my required minimum distribution.
It's okay, good. And then finally, If you do QCDs, does that count against your required minimum distribution at all?
You betcha. It does.
Okay. Well, good. There's another tax planning strategy for me.
You got it. Good question, okay. Jeff. It's something I do.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, have a good day up in the Flathead. Huh?
Yeah. They have to be a 501c3 to do that. Right?
Yes. It has to be a qualified charity, 501c3. And to be careful, ask them for their exemption letter.
Yeah.
But most people are pretty good about it.
You mean people would not tell the truth about that? Or
Well, no, there are some out there.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be still my heart.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, sir. Okay, we do not have time to take another call. I'm going to ask Sandy if she doesn't mind staying through the break. We'd appreciate her doing that. Walt Kerr is joining us here in the studio this morning. Walt Kerr, of course, with Elevated Tax and Accounting, our resident CPA, and he with well over 50 years of experience. So if you would like to get in the queue, Walt will be with us for another hour, giving out a lot of good advice so far this hour, but we have another hour to go. So if you want to get in the queue, give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we will be coming back here after the top of the hour news and getting more great tax advice from Walt Kerr from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So hope you'll stay with us again. The number is 721-1290. We'll be right back.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is hour number two of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply, providing medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. The number to call, 406-721-8468. Gomer's Diesel Repair, Parts Service in Missoula. Call Gomer's at 728-7620 today. Pivots Plus, Montana's leader in irrigation, parts, service, and sales. You can call Pivots Plus at 683-4418. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Call Busy Bees for a free estimate at 550-3219. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment brings you heavy-duty truck sales, parts, and service. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Quality Seamless Gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. Call Quality Seamless Gutters and get a free quote, 728-4002. Y-West Storage offers secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. Call Y-West at 510-0590 to reserve your unit today.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you along. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning for our friend Walt Kerr, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Good morning again, sir.
Yeah, good morning, and God bless our callers.
Aren't they great? You bet. Especially Sandy, who's been waiting all the way through the break. Sandy, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Hi, Sandy.
Good morning, and thank you so much for coming on, Walt. Yesterday's Wordle was wiser, and you are way wiser than I am. So,
I don't know about that.
My song. I do believe so. But you were singing my song earlier about how the local officials need to spend less, and everybody out there needs to spend less if you're spending taxpayer dollars. But that's not my question. My question is, so I've had a job since I was 13, so I've never not had a job.
Good for you. That sounds like me.
And so recently, I don't have a job. I stay at home with the kids now. So do I need to file a tax return? Are we married filing jointly coming up for 2026 and moving forward? And how, I guess my husband's business just recently increased his paycheck. So I don't feel like they're taking enough money out for taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm scared. How do we figure out the amount of money that we need to take out for taxes?
Okay. Here's, and this is just very basic, very rough, because there's all kinds of things that come into play here. You take what your tax was last year on your personal return, and let's say if you do the math, you come out at 12%. So what you want to do is at least have 12 to 15% withheld from the paycheck. And if it's out of an S Corp.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And if there's if it's coming out of an S Corp, use the ordinary income that's on the K-1 and multiply that by the 15%. And then do the same thing for Montana at 5%. And that should get you pretty close. Now, if you have a young child, you get a tax credit for that young child. And there's some other tax benefits that come along with that. And that can change your bottom line. So the first question, actually the very most crude basic question is, do you want to get a refund, or do you want to break even, or do you want to owe?
I've never gotten a tax return. I don't want the government to hold on to my money, sure, interest-free.
So your goal is to break even?
Yes.
Okay. A lofty goal. And it's damn near impossible to pull off. But because it's so complex. But you can get relatively close. So you want to get to as close to revenue neutral as possible. And so that's what I would do, is just what I arranged for you. Now,
that was extremely helpful. And so now that I don't have a job, do I need to file a tax return? And is my husband married filing jointly, or is he married filing separately?
Yeah, he would file in 90 plus 95% of the cases. You're better off filing married joint as opposed to married separate or had a household. And the reason is because the tax rates are better and the brackets are better for married filing joint. Even because you don't have income doesn't mean anything. It means you still, you know, it's best to file married joint. Now, don't have to, but when I say it's best, it's usually best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And am I a dependent now that I don't have a job and I'm depending on my husband? Am I a dependent, or is that just for children?
That's just for children. Or in some cases, in a rare case, a parent. Because sometimes if a parent's living with you and you're providing more than half the support, sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes they can be a dependent as well. So, but most of the time it's kids.
Question.
Okay.
Final
You're
question.
Full of questions.
Do I actually, so I guess if we're married filing jointly, I do need to file a tax return.
Oh, yeah. But that's just a matter of course. Not a big deal. All it requires of you is a signature.
Easy paperwork. I'm really good at that. Thank you so much, Walt. I really appreciate you.
You bet, Sandy. Good luck out there.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate the call. And we are up against our first break of the hour. We have another almost full hour of good tax advice from Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And this is your opportunity. We're rapidly advancing to a tax day on April 15th. So if you have a question about it, you're trying to do your taxes, you don't understand something, hey, this is why Walt is here. But there's over 50 years of experience to share with you. Absolutely free of charge, by the way. 721-1290 is our number. We'll be right back with more with Walt Caro after this.
Just cremation.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. Looking pretty good going back into Thursday. Back to sunshine with a high in the mid-40s, so a little colder. Thursday night mostly clear, and with those clear skies, lows could drop down into the low 20s. On Friday, plenty of sunshine, warming up to a high near 60 degrees. Winds will continue to be light and calm, so quiet, pleasant weather. For the weekend, looks good too, turning milder on Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Sunday, more sunshine and staying in the 60s.
Hey, we are back. This is Talk Back, and the phone lines are open for Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, joining us here in the studio, sharing his over 50 years of experience. So in lieu of calls, I know you have your big stack of stuff over there.
Yeah, and the first two items on my stack of stuff have to do with wealth taxes. The first one is a...
Something people in radio don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. But... You need to know what's going on, because they can drop who is wealthy for the purposes of this tax.
Sure.
Anyway, the first one is the federal wealth tax proposal by crazy Bernie Sanders. And he's proposing a 5% annual wealth tax on billionaires. Anyway, he proposed this just recently, and it's going to direct payments to Americans. He's going to take the money from the billionaires and give it to Americans and expand social welfare programs.
So take it from the rich and give it to the poor.
Yeah, he's trying to play Robin Hood.
Exactly.
But he's using the federal government as his shield. Anyway, the proposal, now here's where it gets sticky, will also create a federal registry requiring taxpayers, now it doesn't say who, but taxpayers, to report annual valuations of your investment accounts, real estate, and privately held businesses.
Wow.
So, you know what that registry is. That's just, instead of guns, we're going to have you list your assets. So, we go from there. How much would Bernie's proposal actually raise? The advocates those that are promoting this scheme, and I like to call it a scheme, they project the new tax would raise $4.4 trillion over 10 years.
Wow.
And its higher avoidance and administrative complexity could also significantly lower revenue collections. Well, if this bill passes, don't you think some people would say, well, to heck with you, I'm going to vote with my feet and leave? Example, just like within the past month, Howard Schultz left the state of Washington because of their proposal to, for their income tax, and they're also proposing a wealth tax. He said, bye-bye, and it's happened to a lot of people.
Where did he go? Tennessee or Florida?
I think he went to Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Believe me, these other states are very happy to see those folks, relocate we'll be much fairer to you, and we'll love the tax revenue.
Well, yeah, and we have experience of this locally because various cities that have turned into manure holes have caused people to leave those manure holes and move to Montana and Idaho and places where it's not so crazy. And so, but that's not taxation that's driving that, although
it's lifestyle.
Part of it in lifestyle.
Yeah.
There are things with the wealth tax that are problematic. And my experience is I know Finland did it for a while. They had a wealth tax. But most European countries that have introduced wealth taxes have taken them off because they don't work, and they don't work as well as they thought, and it just usually causes more problems than other. The other big problem with Bernie's proposal is that a U.S. wealth tax would face legal uncertainty because the minute it got passed, it would be in court, and it would go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the Constitution requires direct taxes, and a wealth tax like this would be a direct tax. Has to be apportioned among the states unless they are income taxes. Well, a wealth tax is not an income tax. We just had that little discussion with Jeff. So, anyway.
We do have a caller. Let's get Catherine on the line. Catherine, thanks for holding. You're on Talk Back with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Since you're talking about a wealth tax, wouldn't that, and since the vast majority of people with 401ks and Roth IRAs and pensions have money in the stock market and other forms of wealth accumulation assets, wouldn't that a wealth tax pretty much require people to sell some of their assets in order to pay it? And if that happens, wouldn't that depress the market for everybody?
Yeah, it would not only depress the market, but if you pull money out of your retirement to pay a wealth tax, guess what happens? Then you create an income tax. Catch you 22. Oh,
yeah. But in other words, we would all be paying for it, one way or the other. So it would not just hit billionaires.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're saying we would all pay for it because the market value of our investments would take a hit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All you have to do is watch what's going on in New York with Mandami and his proposals. He was going to propose a 10% increase in property tax there to pay for all the social programs that he was wanting to do. And because so many people have left, so many very wealthy people have left and moved to Florida, it is causing a great financial hardship for all of his proposed free programs.
Yeah, you think. In fact, it's caused the governor to say, hey, we want you back now, rather than saying good riddance to Florida. You know, move to Florida. We don't care about you anymore. Well, Kathy Hochul's tune has done a 180.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just it's
it's amazing to me that we keep coming back to the same, having to relearn the same lesson over and over and over again. So,
anyway,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. And you've already said this. People, especially in New York and high-tax areas, Massachusetts, things like, they're voting with their feet. I mean, they're moving to Florida. They're moving to Montana. They're moving to Tennessee, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're taking their businesses with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. And we see it from people that are living in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and wherever.
Let's move to Montana. Or not.
Yeah.
Okay, we're up against a break. The phone lines are open. If you have a question for Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, put the over 50 years of tax preparation experience to work for you. Give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We'll be back right after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. We may finally learn more about the circumstances surrounding last summer's mass shooting in Anaconda. Ever since Michael Paul Brown entered a bar and killed four people, setting off a week-long manhunt, authorities have been blocking efforts for the press to access at least some of the court documents and details of the shooting, as would be a normal part of media coverage. Judge Jeffrey DeHood had placed the initial filings under seal right after Brown's arrest and before news organizations could argue their objections. But now the state Supreme Court is ordering the lower court to hear those arguments about release of the public documents. Six media organizations filed the appeal, including the Montana State Broadcasters Association, of which this station is a member. Yellowstone County commissioners are setting a public hearing over that proposal by the state to locate a new mental health facility in Laurel. Tracy Taylor has the update.
The state of Montana is considering a new forensic mental health facility near Laurel. Officials are looking at land just outside of the Billings city limits, though no final decision has been made. Because the proposal may conflict with local zoning, Yellowstone County is required to hold a public hearing within 30 days. Commissioners will meet April 2nd to set that hearing date. County leaders won't approve or deny the project, but will gather public input to share with the state. Residents are encouraged to attend upcoming meetings to learn more and voice concerns. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
The Polson Fire Department now saying that downtown building, which caught fire early yesterday, is a total loss. The blaze started early in the morning in the building on 4th Avenue East near the courthouse and took several hours to extinguish. The cause of the fire is being investigated. Lots of attention this week to a new proposal to cap Montana property tax hikes at 2%. GOP lawmaker Willie Gault of Martinsdale has come up with an initiative for a constitutional amendment that would put the lid on not only increasing state taxes, but property taxes from all local government agencies as well. That would include commercial property, too. This is the Montana State News Network.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
I'm Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force, and I've deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimic, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We're back on Talk Back. The phone lines are open at 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. And, of course, Walt Kiro, our guest here in the studio this morning from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So in lieu of calls, what else would you like to share with us?
Yes. One more swipe at wealth taxes. California is proposing a wealth tax of 5%. But, and they're proposing it as a ballot initiative. So the voters, and you remember, these voters, and they're unpredictable.
Yes,
let's
they
put
are.
It that yeah. way. And it will be a one-time 5% of net worth on the state's billionaires. However, due to aggressive design choices in the tax and possible drafting errors, the actual rate on taxpayers' net worth could be dramatically higher.
Oh, boy.
And when I read that, well, how can that work? Well, here's how it works. And this is from the Tax Foundation again, is they've allowed a system that can overvalue assets. For example, like when Trump was told Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million, and then here just recently Fortune came out and valued Mar-a-Lago in that estate worth about $530 million.
Wow.
So, you know, depending upon who's looking at the value, in the case of $18 million, it was kind of a less than ethical judge trying to get at Trump, saying it was only worth $18 million. And even though nobody lost any money, well, we got Trump. So, but the reality is, when you got such valuation distortions, you can see how this tax would be very difficult.
Well, they weaponized it.
Yeah, and if you force things to be stated at their highest value, not necessarily what they would sell for, you can raise a lot of tax. But I think there's been several people in California have left that we've been talking about for 2-3 months now, and the exodus will continue.
Yes. And that exodus is going to lots of different places. I mean, ordinarily, many of them are going to Texas, but then they're going to Florida, they're going to
Tennessee,
they're going all sorts of places where the powers that be who are in charge there, the legislatures, are saying, hey, this is a trend, why don't we make our state an attractive place for these big corporations to move to?
Yeah, and what do those three states have in common? There's no income tax.
Right.
On individuals in Florida, Tennessee, and Texas.
You bet. We do have Dave waiting on the line for us. Dave, good morning. You're on with Walt Caro. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Good morning. You know, Donald Trump paid $10 million for Mar-a-Lago in 1985, I believe. You know, as far as taxes go, I mean, if we want people to really stay away from us and not come here, maybe we should raise taxes higher than everyone else. Then that would keep them from coming here. Of course, that's a joke because I don't particularly want to see taxes that high. But
yeah, you would make the widowers cry.
Yes, exactly.
Although you could, Dave, you could just call it a newcomer's tax.
Sounds good to me. I'm an old comer. I've been here for 74 years, so mm-hmm. It would work for me. But I'm curious what the solution for Social Security will be, because it's running low on money.
Oh,
and so
far in debt, it's unconscionable. It's $37 trillion in debt.
Well, that's the whole government. That's the whole thing.
True.
Social Security is a part of it, but we need to do something because it's running out of money and no one wants to bite the bullet. I talked to the politicians about it, and they just pretend that it's a non-issue.
What do they call the third rail of politics? Is Social Security?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is Congress, in its infinite ignorance, has taken the excess funds that the taxpayers are paying in on Social Security, that so-called trust fund, they've spent it on government projects. And so if...
That's okay. We'll pay it back.
Well, there was in 1973, there was a law passed called the ERISA.
It's an acronym.
One way of the acronym ERISA was every ridiculous idea since Adam, but it's not something that, you know, it had to do with running retirement systems and retirement plans. If those rules were in place for Congress, Congress would be in jail. And the reason is because they're misusing and abusing retirement funds, if you consider Social Security a retirement fund. Now, would that cure it overnight? But not necessarily, but it would be a good step. I know that.
Well, anything is better than what we're doing now. But getting a politician to step over and either cut benefits to people or raise the taxes for people, we need money coming in. It's just a matter of economics. Because the system is going to run out in just a few years.
So maybe you could get a bunch of Congress people, men and women, who are terming out, who don't have to worry about being reelected to be able to go in and say, this is what we need to do. We need to do right now.
Yeah. From, you know, I've seen the numbers on it and they say that, 85% chance that the Democrats will control the House. And if trends of what have been happening continue, there could be as many as 40 new Democrat House of Representatives and 40 less Republicans. And so it'll become a Democrat problem to solve it. And so, we'll see what they do.
I was going to ask you, do you think, because I know you're pretty politically aware, Dave, I wanted to find out if you think that the Democrats might have a solution that the Republicans don't seem to have.
I have no idea. But something has to be done. And just pretending it's not there is not going to fix the problem.
We're whistling past the graveyard, is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, this has come up before, and I think Reagan was president, and they established a commission. And the commission did some, you know, tweaking here and there, and it bought some time. And so I suspect they'll do that very same thing again. There'll come a commission, and they'll make some changes, and it'll buy some more life.
They'll tweak it.
Yeah, and part of the problem is one of demographics. Right now we're in a bubble where we've got such a huge amount of people that are living longer and getting benefits. And, you know, if it gets by the next 30, 50 years, some of it will go away just from attrition. In other words, we'll be gone, and we won't be requiring so much in Social Security.
Well, you know, the three of us are the problem. If we disappeared, it helped Social Security.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Okay, well, thank you.
That's not part of my future financial plan.
No.
I plan to perish within the next 2 years. Anyway, we're going to come right back. 721, thanks, Dave. Thanks for the call. 721-1290 is our number. All of our phone lines are open if you have a question for Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. I know you do because we're just literally weeks away from April 15th. So if you have a tax question, something you're sitting there just kind of tearing your hair, don't understand what this form is or what do I have to do here, that is why Walt is here. And he's here to share his over 50 years of tax preparation experience with you absolutely free. So if you want to get some advice, give us a call, 721-1290. Walt Kiro will be back with Walt right after this.
Whether you're selling...
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. He's our resident CPA and here to answer your questions about since tax time is rapidly approaching. We phone lines are clear right now. If you have a question or a comment, maybe you're kind of flummoxed or don't have the right form or whatever, give us a call. That's why Walt is here at 721-1290. But in lieu of calls, you have more information to share.
Oh, yeah. Well, the name Nick Shirley familiar to you?
I remember Nick Shirley, yes.
Okay, Nick Shirley has now moved from Minnesota, where he was exposing all that fraud, and he's now in California.
Uh-oh.
And this is a different form of fraud, but it's along the same lines. We got a government program, and the program feeds various whatever. And what he found in California is it makes Minnesota look like mincemeat or, you know, piker food. Anyway, the massive fraud in California is attached to hospice. And here's how the fraud works and how the scammers are getting away with millions.
Now, you don't know what hospice is. It's care for the dying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the fancy word for that? It escapes me right now. This is how the fraud works. You get a small office in L.A. You collect Medicare beneficiary numbers. You know, you got your Medicare card. There's a beneficiary number on there.
Right.
Somehow you collect them. And then you enroll those.
Or you buy them from some source or whatever, yeah.
You enroll those beneficiary numbers, because they're not even people to you, they're just a number. You enroll them into hospice. And then you bill the government for millions.
Wow.
If you get caught or you become suspicious, you just pack up and walk away with millions. And that's the end of the fraud. Now, Nick Shirley points out that one hospice, it's called All Day Hospice Care, has billed $3.1 million, or about $6,000 per patient, since 2023. It rented a small suite inside an unmarked office building where they close up shop when questions about their business arise.
Wow.
And to make things worse, Newsom, governor, was warned of that in 2022, that this fraud was going on. And there'll be more and more stories coming out of it. Now, I saw a little news story on TV yesterday. I don't know if it was on Fox or Newsmax or what. But 30% of all the hospice care dollars that the federal government spends were out of this one tiny enclave in Los Angeles County. And so you go,
surprise,
what?
Surprise. Yeah.
30% of the whole country coming out of this one place? So this fraud is rampant. And, you know.
It's, so now what are they doing about this? I obviously, we hear about this. We get shocked. We get, oh, my gosh, what's going on in California, blah, blah, blah. But what are they doing about it? Are they solving it?
Well, I think they're slow to react. And so when you say they, this is Congress.
Right. Okay.
And Congress is going to, you know, take its time because it's got a lot of, you know, it's got a lot of things on its plate. Like right now, you know, they're trying to get some TSA workers some money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just boggles the mind. And, you know, the governor of California, Newsom, and his auditor, they were both made aware of this fraud problem in 4 years ago in 2022.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just causing a lot of unhappiness out there. And we'll see. You know, hopefully it'll end up at the ballot box and people won't vote for those rascals anymore. That's the hope.
It'll be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have about we got time for one more little note from your stack of stuff before we take a break. Love to get some phone calls this morning at 721-1290.
Sure.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. We need some questions. The state of Washington, and this is as far as I know, the latest I heard has done this, is they've put in place a 9.9% income tax on millionaires.
Okay.
And so one story I saw talked about, well, maybe the Seahawks won't be so good in the future because some of the players will vote with their feet and move to another team just because they can avoid this almost 10% tax on their income.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if they'll take this into account, but a long time ago, I got wind of what was going on. And so if you're a Seattle player and you've got a game in California, well, because they make so much money for each game, every stadium they play in, each player has to know how much they're making from that. Because if they play in a state with an income tax, those players have to file a return.
Wow.
In that state every year that they make money in that state. So, you know, if you're playing in New Orleans or New York State or, you know, like Buffalo and New York, and you make money there, they're going to want to tax you. And so, you know, good luck. An NFL player, boy, they pay 8-9 games out of state.
I think it would be interesting to talk with Patrick O'Connell about that. And, you know, Patrick plays for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And so it would be interesting to get a local flavor on, I wasn't expecting to have to pay income taxes in this state and that state and all the places I play.
Yeah. So. And I think their managers and their business people that are supporting them are, you know, help them with that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. There's all sorts of, advisors.
Yeah. And so, but you just talk about making your life complicated.
You bet. We're up against a break. When we come back, Jeff is waiting with a question or a comment. Several other phone lines are open and about 18 minutes left in our time with Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you at 721-1290. We'll be back.
Cold and flu.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Skyline Sports reported that the Montana Lady Grizz are expected to return six players from this year's team. Avery Waddington, Jocelyn Land, Abby Schubert, Kennedy Gillette, Ray Ehrman, and Ava Cosette will return for the Lady Grizz. No official word on the rest of the roster. There will be four freshmen coming in. Speaking of former Lady Grizz Macy Heward has announced that she will be entering the transfer portal for the second time in her short career. Heward spent the last two seasons at Oklahoma State. This last season was cut short thanks to a knee injury. She played 23 games, starting one in her lone year of playing at Oklahoma State. Changes to the NFL schedule already. The Seattle Seahawks will open the season week one on a Wednesday. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauerwein.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy. But if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Okay, we're back. This is Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christians and taking your phone calls this morning. Walt Curo is our special guest, Elevated Tax and Accounting, and Jeff is joining us once again. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning again. When you were talking about the hospice fraud, I didn't hear you mention this. Maybe you didn't. I just missed it. I've been kind of busy. So that 10% of all hospice claims come from L.A. That's countrywide. That's nationwide. Not from California, but from Los Angeles. 10% of all the hospice claims come from Los Angeles.
Yeah, so don't you find that kind of remarkable?
That would mean that 10% of everybody who's dying in the United States live in L.A. And I just don't think that's the case.
So, yeah, you would think common sense would say, it should be probably pro rata, wouldn't you think, or closer to it?
Yeah, and about a year ago, too, when DOGE was getting started, an interesting fact that came up was that when the Treasury gets a claim, they pay it. They don't check. They didn't vet under Biden. They weren't looking at any qualifications. The claim comes in, money goes out. No questions asked.
Yeah.
So I think that's changing, thankfully.
Yeah, I hope so. I know that Joni Ernst has a bill, and Senator Kennedy from Louisiana has a bill in to deal with some aspects of that.
I wish we could field a senator here in Montana who has a sense of humor of Robert Kennedy. Yeah, he's or John Kennedy down there in Louisiana. He's remarkable.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's
folksy, homespun.
He's got a very wry sense of humor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that people don't take him seriously because he's just kind of got that off shucks, good old boy kind of thing. But he's an experienced prosecutor, and he knows how to zero in on the things that he wants to ask and get the answers that will absolutely devastate you. And by the time they realize where he's going, it's kind of an, let the cat out of the bag. So,
And I think even more so, Jeff, I think he enjoys doing that.
Think? You reckon?
Yep.
Jeff, thanks for the call. We have two Sandys waiting in line. This is Sandy number one. Sandy, go ahead. You're on Talk Back with Walt.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I am the executor of my mother's estate. Uh-huh. She died in 2022.
Okay.
And I haven't closed it yet. All the beneficiaries were listed, so I didn't have to go through probate.
Uh-huh.
There was also a trust, which I liquidated all the stocks.
Uh-huh.
And we're waiting to apply this to a cabin that we want to keep going since the 1950s into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
I have to pay property taxes on this property, And I'm wondering if, since there isn't an account, can I apply that property tax as a deduction to my own to get take advantage of this deduction?
It's kind of hard because the person that can take the deduction has to be the owner. And, you know, this is you're causing me to walk the fine line here because this is legal stuff. But your question is tax. But
right.
But what I would do in order is you have one of convenience. And what I would do, do you have an attorney for the estate?
I haven't assigned one yet, and I'm hoping to in a month or so.
Okay. Well, I would ask an attorney if they could draw up an agreement, whereas you pay those bills personally, but you get reimbursed from either the estate, but the trust you said has been terminated. It's gone.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, usually the IRS wants to know after 2 years if you have an estate still going, what's the hang up? And so usually there's a beneficiary who has their panties in a bunch and don't feel like they're being treated fairly. And so they hire an attorney, and then you go down that path of legal versus legal. And it gets difficult and can take quite a bit of time. Why is it 4 years since your mom died? So what's taken so long?
Because I've been trying to do everything myself and not have a lawyer. And yeah. I'm not experienced.
Yeah, and most people fit that category. And you know, don't feel alone on that. And God bless you for trying to do all that on your own. But it's hard.
May I ask a quick question? Are you a senior citizen? Are you over 65?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because the Senior Citizen Center has tax help there. You can just walk right in there, and they have Vista volunteers, people to help you with those types of issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can start there. But, you know, if it involves very much money, you as the personal representative of the estate, and I will also assume you were the trustee for the trust, you have so much responsibility. It's just incredible. And so,
yes.
You know, I would make sure to cross my T's and dot my I's. And I've been a PR for some for a large estate and some smaller estates, and it's not a lot of fun. In fact, it'll turn your hair gray if it's not already.
Yes.
But, well, yeah, that's the route I would go for convenience, because then you can get the bill paid rather than, you know, letting it sit collecting dust.
Right. I have seven of us children listed as beneficiaries and owners of the property.
Yeah.
And the suggestion was made I could take 1/7 and apply it to my property taxes, but I haven't paid myself for doing any of this work at all either.
Yeah, and you should. You should get compensated for that because those other individuals who are beneficiaries are getting the benefit of that without having any of that pain. And if you can't share that pain, then you need to be compensated. One other little story I'm going to pass to you, Sandy, is I had a client of mine, similar situation, where they had a family cabin, and it was owned by, you know, 10 different people, all his undivided joint interest. Well, a neighbor came by and offered one of the beneficiaries, one of the kids, hey, I'll give you some money for your interest in the property. Well, guess what? The knucklehead sold it. And the rest of the family found out about it. And boy, you want to talk about a dust up. That was more than a dust up. It was a blow up. So what the family did, the remaining people, they transferred all their interest into an LLC that an attorney got them put together so that nobody could do that damage again. So what the neighbor do? He was able to with his purchase interest, put in a road to get access to his property. And so he got by pretty cheap and, you know, made a whole bunch of people upset.
Yeah, so, everybody's in pretty good terms so far, you know. They're glad I'm taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it only takes one, Sandy, and then you're in soup.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Sandy. Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you for the call, ma'am. We're going to come back after 1 minute. We have the other Sandy waiting on the line, and several other phone lines open. Have about 6 minutes left in our time together with Walt Kuro from Elevated Tax and Account. If you have a question, give us a call right now at 721-1290.
Just cremate.
We are back on Talk Back. Let's go right back to the phones and get Sandy on the line. Sandy, you're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Sandy.
Good morning, and thank you for taking another one of my billion questions. But this one, I'm having an internal struggle regarding the Trump accounts. So it's taxpayer dollars because one of my children, or they do qualify for the $1,000 for the put into a savings account so that they don't have to rely on the government in the future. But my children are never going, I'm not going to raise them that way, so they're never going to have to rely on the government.
Right.
So how do I justify or not justify opening one of those accounts?
Oh, well, the justification is that why wouldn't you? And you have, you'll get that little child of yours will get $1,000 from the Trump account, you know, from the government.
And, from the taxpayers.
Yeah. And so
from Jeff and from you and from Peter and from Nick.
and Michael and Susan Dell will either put in $250 or $500.
Oh, yeah, they did. Okay.
Okay. But the justification, well, it's the government picking winners and losers, and it doesn't pass that test, but it's got a noble goal. The noble goal is to train all these young kiddos
to save
money. And if when they get to be 18 or 19 and their college is mostly or partially funded, I would say that's a good deal. Or VOTEC, you know, should they choose to go to VOTEC. That's the justification to me, is the long run benefit to the kiddos.
Thank you. That helps my internal struggle.
Thanks for the call. We're going to try to get one more call in before our time is up. Dave, you're on with Walt. We got about a little less than 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Walt. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I inherited a home this past year. Also received payout from the estate. I'm not really sure tax liability wise where I need to enter that stuff for my income tax.
For this year's tax returns for 2025.
Yeah.
Okay. When you inherit the house, in almost all cases, that event itself will not create a tax. When you sell the house, you know, if you sell it for more than what the market value was at the date of the death of the person who inherited from. So let's say the value was $500,000 when you inherited it at the date of that person's death, and then you sell it for $550,000. Well, then you have a $50,000 capital gain. Now you can deduct from that the selling expenses and whatnot, but only after you sell. So your 2025 return will not be impacted by the house. And now, if the other monies you receive were cash from a bank account, there's no tax impact there. But if you start getting money from an IRA or retirement account, then you will have a tax effect, and you will have to report that.
Okay. We're going to have to put the house up for rent, and I'm wondering, we've had to do a lot of upkeep to get it to rental status. We haven't been able to rent it yet.
Right.
We assume halfway through this year. But the expenses that I have for this past year, is that anywhere added into my...
If they're fixing up expenses to get it to be rented, you should capitalize those. And you can't deduct them until you, quote-unquote, put the property in service. And it won't be put in service until you start renting. Does that make any sense?
So that... somehow deductible from last year's tax?
It wouldn't be deductible on last year's taxes.
We are out of time. Thank you so much for your call, sir. We appreciate it. Okay, Walt, if people want to contact you, what do they do?
Okay, you call me at 406-549-2288. I'm at Elevated Tax. We're downtown in the First Interstate Bank building on the second floor. Do I need more?
That's it. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thanks for sharing all your experiences with us today. We appreciate it. And as we look forward to Mr. Nick, what's coming up on tomorrow's show, sir?
We'll just be on from 9 to 10. We will have City Talk, and it'll be Jamie Jonkel from FWP talking about Bears.
I love it. Yeah, I Jamie Jonkel is the guy I called, if you remember, Nick, when I had the bobcat and the dead deer in my backyard. So
heard the story many times.
Yeah, ad nauseum, I'm sure. Anyway, well, listen, thanks so much for calling, everybody, and thank you so much to Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting for sharing his over 50 years of tax preparation expertise. And so for all of you guys, get out there and enjoy this absolutely beautiful day. And we will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock.